in the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev, it says, Vayeshev Yaakov be'eretz megurei aviv be'eretz Canaan. So Yaakov lived in the land of his father, sojournings in the land of Canaan. The word Vayeshev has the connotation of settling permanently. This verse strongly emphasizes that it was Yaakov's intention at this point to attach himself to the land of Israel. In the words of Rashi, Bikesh Yaakov leshev b'shalva. Yaakov sought to settle down in peace. The words Migurei Aviv Beretz Canaan connote not merely a geographical location, but a love for the land that was both his father's and his grandfather's home. The stage was set for the covenantal promise of inheriting the land of Canaan to be realized immediately. Esav had left Canaan for Seir, clearing the way for Yaakov. Had the machlokas between Yosef and his brothers not taken place, the exile foretold in the Brisbane Absarim of oppression in a foreign land for 400 years, it would have been fulfilled through Yaakov's sojourn in Haran. Hashem's arithmetic is different from man's. If the Shibud Mitzrayim, if the Egyptian servitude, was in fact reduced from the promised 400 years to 210 years, then Hashem could have further reduced it to the 20 years that Yaakov himself was in Galus, in Haran, in Syria, thus obviating the Egyptian exile entirely. The discord between Yaakov's children, or among Yaakov's children, thwarted his plan to inherit Eretz Megurei Aviv, the land of his father's sojourning. Ele Toldos Yaakov Yosef. These are the generations of Yaakov, it's Joseph. Rashi explains this phrase to mean that Yosef resembled Yaakov. Aside from their physical resemblance, their experiences were also similar. Both Yaakov and Yosef proved that the covenant could be observed in Galut, in exile. Yaakov demonstrated the covenant's viability outside of his birthplace during his 20-year sojourn in Padan Aram, in Haran, while serving Lavan. And Yosef demonstrated that one could be committed to the covenant in bondage as well as in abundance. Chazal interpret this verse as if there was a hyphen between the names Yaakov and Yosef, meaning Yaakov Yosef, emphasizing the metaphysical unity between them. This type of union is later expressed in regard to the relationship between Yaakov and Binyamin, Nafsho Keshura Binafsho, two souls that are intertwined. They were not two persons, they were one person. Yaakov's eye awareness included Yosef. Yaakov's love for his other children did not precipitate this ontological oneness. It says, Va'asalok sonis pasim, that Yaakov made for Joseph this multicolored coat. Yosef beheld two visions. He dreamt of the alumos, the sheaves, which rose and stood up high while the sheaves of his brothers came and bowed down to his. When he told that dream to his brothers, their hatred was deepened and strengthened. But their envy, Vayekanu bo'achiv, that was not aroused. But then after that, he dreamt another dream of the sun, the moon, and the stars bowing to him. When he told this dream to his father, Vayekanu bo'echav, that his brothers envied him. Not only did they hate him, but they were envious of him as well. On the surface, the interpretation is that Yosef had two visions. One was of material and economic power, of prosperity and opulence. The other revolved around spiritual greatness, heavenly sweep, and heavenly grandeur. Yosef wanted to be powerful in a political sense, to attain wealth and prosperity, to be respected by people because of his power, feared by people because of his might. But he also wanted to be great spiritually, to be loved and revered because of his wisdom and his kindness. Can one person combine both qualities? Can one person fulfill both dreams? The dream of the sheaves of economic and military power, and the dream of spiritual greatness, of moral heights, and communion with Hashem? Joseph, as an executive, paid attention to the hard facts of life. He organized the storage of food during the 7 years of prosperity. He divided and then removed the peasants from their land. Could he at the same time be a dreamer, a visionary, a spiritual leader, loved by people? Joseph thought that he could combine both. This is the meaning behind the kesonis pasim, the coat that was multicolored. It was not monochromatic. The many colors clashing one another, the many colors clashing with one another, they signify inherent contradictions. But Joseph was a synthesis of the earthly sheaves and the heavenly bodies. It says, "Hine anachnu ma'almim alumim besoch hasadeh." Behold, we were binding sheaves in the midst of the field. The Chachamim say that a man's dreams, they bespeak his innermost thoughts and feelings. That's Brachos Nun Hei Amud Beis. What did Joseph seek? To what did he aspire? What foreboding troubled him? An obscure feeling of insecurity, it frightened Joseph. He was not persuaded that Yaakov, living in Eretz Megurei Aviv, would endure for very long. The words, "Your seed will be as strangers in a land that is not theirs." Ki ger yieh zaracha be'eretz lo lahem. It told in his ears. He saw himself and his brothers in an alien environment, far from the land of Canaan, in new circumstances and under new conditions of life. In his dream, he saw, "Behold, we were binding sheaves. We are no longer in Canaan. We are in the land of Egypt and can no longer be shepherds. We are integrated into a new economy with new styles of living, characteristics, and laws. We can no longer support ourselves by pasturing sheep. The sons of Yaakov have to learn new occupations such as farming, building, stone cutting, woodwork, and become skilled in gold, silver, and brass, which are adapted to the new economic conditions." Joseph dreamt of a new framework within which the unity of the family could be preserved, even in the far places where the creator of the universe would scatter them. His constant preoccupation was with the continuation of the Mesorah of Avraham and Yitzchak amidst a new economic structure and civilization. The brothers did not understand him, for they looked upon the future as a continuation of the present. They perceived all problems from within the framework of their life in Canaan, the land of their father's wanderings. In the traditional surroundings, in the thoroughly familiar habitat of the patriarchs, they did not need new frameworks or novel economic methods. The biblical Yosef relates that the Shemesh, the Yareach, the Kochavim, the sun, moon, and the 11 stars were prostrating themselves to me. There is secular culture. There's great and powerful technology creating wonders and changing the foundations of our lives. Even if it is true that in Canaan we can get along without it, this secular culture entails destructive elements, many negative and perverse aspects. It may be a blessing and a curse simultaneously. And thus, as long as one can live without it, so much the better for the spirit. Finally, though, we will have to relate to it. The confrontation will not take place in Canaan, where life flows serenely, but it will take place in a new and alien land, where the tempo of life is greatly accelerated and fundamental changes occur daily. Hashem's decree, "Ki ger yieh zaracha be'eretz lo lahem," that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, it will be fulfilled sooner or later. In a land that is not theirs, I fear, we will not be able to maintain a separation between ourselves and our surroundings. If we are not prepared for new conditions, the environment will swallow us. Our intellectual forces will completely assimilate. On the other hand, if we think of the future, we can plan for binding the sheaves, for the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars, for a new economic and social order. We can render Avram's heritage triumphant even in alien surroundings. Avram's Torah is very powerful, but only when we are prepared for the conflict and know exactly what to do in this new environment. Going later into the Parsha, it describes that Reuven wanted to save Yosef, but Reuven somehow is absent. Vayashav Reuven el Habor. And he returns to the pit, and Yosef's gone. Yosef's been sold as a slave. And Reuven returned to the pit. Reuven had earlier declared that no blood should be spilled, with the intention of saving his younger brother Yosef. Strangely, however, during the actual sale of Yosef, Reuven had disappeared. Where was Reuven during Joseph's sale? Rabbi Elazar says, he was taken up with his fasting and sackcloth. Yosef b'ta'aniso v'sako. And when he became free, he went and he looked into the pit. That's Bereishis Rabba, Lamed Zayin, Yud Tes. The Midrash's comments refer to an earlier, seemingly unrelated episode. And it came to pass when Yisrael, meaning Jacob, sojourned in the land, that Reuven went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine. And Israel heard of it. And so the sons of Yaakov were 12. The Gemara in Shabbos, Nun Hey Amud Beis, says, Call me Sheomer Reuven Chata, Eino Elatoa. Anyone who says that Reuven actually slept with Bilhah, engaged in relations with her, is making a mistake. For it says, in the same verse, the sons of Yaakov were 12, teaching that they were equal. They were all equal. Rashi explains, when Rachel died, Yaakov took his bed, which was placed regularly in the tent of Rachel, and he placed it in the tent of Bilhah. Reuven came and he resented the insult to his mother Leah and said, if my mother Leah was a subordinate to Rachel, must she also be a subordinate to Rachel's shivcha, to her handmaid? Therefore, he rearranged Yaakov's bed by moving it to Leah's tent. Now, just on the side, you understand the reason Yaakov did that was chas v'shalom, God forbid not to be in any way denigrating or being mezalzel in the kavod of his wife Leah. It's because this orphaned baby, this orphan infant, Binyamin, who'd lost his mother, at least he should have a father to raise him. That's why he did that. Why did Reuven choose this specific occasion to repent, to do tshuva for that earlier act? Because only now did Reuven finally realize the staggering implications of his sin. After the brothers witnessed Reuven, who was the oldest, acting in a disrespectful manner toward their father in the Bilhah incident, their own respect for Yaakov declined. While from the perspective of the deed itself, Reuven's infraction was minor. The consequence of the sin was devastating, however. Reuven undermined Yaakov's authority in his own household, and the ensuing loss of respect for Yaakov by Reuven's brothers ultimately resulted in their proposal to kill Yosef. Look, in their mind, father was mistaken when it came to what he did to our mother Leah. Father again is mistaken. He's been blinded. He's been manipulated by this megalomaniac son of his who he can't see the truth because all he sees in Joseph is his dead wife, Rachel. And they question Yaakov's judgment. Where do they learn to challenge their father's judgment? From following Reuven's lead. Reuven had no idea of the monster he would create in what his brothers would learn from his actions. Reuven finally understood the full implications of his earlier actions, and therefore immediately after hearing their threat to kill Yosef, he was taken up with fasting and sackcloth. Going to later in the Parsha, it says, "V'Yosef hurad Mitzrayma." Joseph was brought to Egypt. Joseph was sold to Potiphar, the chief executioner, Rav Tabachim. Why? In order to acquaint him with human cruelty. In the same vein, Knesset Yisrael had to spend many years in slavery in order to attain nationhood and greatness. Only in Mitzrayim could the Jews become a goy gadol, a great nation, as we say in the Haggadah. The Jews had to see and experience evil, tyranny, ruthlessness, for one cannot hate Satan unless one knows him well and has dealt with Satan. To hear stories is not enough. Direct experience and involvement are indispensable. Had Yaakov remained in Canaan, his children and future generations would not have developed extra sensitivity for fairness, for honesty, for chesed, for empathy and sympathy. We would not have hated cruelty and ruthlessness with the same passion and zeal. Had we not spent years of horror, we could not have grown and developed into a goy gadol, a great nation. In pain and despair, we have attained greatness and nationhood. Like a rose among the thorns, so is my beloved among the maidens. That's Shir Hashirim Perek Beis. And that's the same issue with Yosef. Potiphar, the Sar HaTabachim, he was the chief executioner for the Pharaoh. God placed Yosef in the most impure environment so he could fully appreciate the purity of Yaakov and the purity of Yaakov's home. Joseph had to live in the house of Potiphar to come face to face with evil, to be present at a hanging, to see how Potiphar himself tied the noose in the public square while the bloodthirsty nation enjoyed the sight of the terrified, wreathing victim. Only then could Yosef appreciate the sheer greatness of his father's teachings, the supreme beauty of the laws of the Egla Rufa, which he had reviewed with his father just prior to his exile. Only then did Joseph appreciate the magnitude of the spiritual revolution of justice and righteousness that his great-grandfather Avraham had introduced, that his grandfather Yitzhak had carried on, and that his father Yaakov had lived by. It says, Vayavo habayasa lasos melachto. He came to the home of Potiphar when Potiphar was off on a holiday, and the only one there was Mrs. Potiphar. Rashi suggests that just as Yosef was about to succumb to Potiphar's wife, he saw demus deyukno shel aviv. He saw his father's image, and he stopped himself. Young Yosef, as beautiful as the sun, violently ripped from his father's warm embrace, alone in Mitzrayim, in an environment of impurity and misfortune, was about to give in. But Yosef, who had not seen his father in years, he conjured Yaakov's strict yet loving gestalt. The true gauge of the relationship between a son and a father is not the mitzvah of kibud avaim, but is ish imo v'aviv tiro, the mitzvah of mora. Mora means respect, recognizing the parent's authority. As the memory of a parent's physical appearance blurs, the greater the gap in time, the stronger the mora, the respect and reverence bond becomes. While kibud may wane, mora only grows with distance. It says that not only did Yosef find chen from Potiphar, he found chen in the prison by the what we'll call the CEO or the prison warden. Vayet elav chesed, vayitain chino be'enei sar beis hasoar. And he extended kindness to him, and he gave him favor in the eyes of the warden of the prison, meaning Hashem did chesed for Joseph, and Hashem enabled Yosef to find favor in the eyes chen in the eyes of the warden of the prison. In regard to Yosef, the Bible speaks of chen. The same sequence appears in the description of Yosef in Potiphar's household, in Perek Lamed Tes, Psukim Gimel and Dalet. In short, when Hashem is with a person, the latter finds favor in the sight of everyone. What is this favor? What is this chen? The Hebrew word chen refers to the attribute of charm, in contradiction to yofi, or beauty. While beauty is usually a result of the combination of several physical factors and external features, chen comes from within. It flows from the deep recesses of the spiritual personality. Chen is engendered by the presence of Hashem in the human being. It is the reflection of the divine presence within man. One radiates chen, for the image of God is a source of chen. The symmetry of the body, the complexion, and the color of the eyes are all irrelevant when it comes to the chen personality. What is important is the divine in man. The two clauses, the Lord was with Yosef, and Yosef found favor in his master's eyes, they constitute an equation. Joseph found favor in Potiphar's sight, as well as in the warden, the Sar Beit HaSoar's sight, because Hashem was with him. And the last piece we'll do today is ki gunov gunavti me'eretz ha'ivrim. Yosef says to the butler, I was stolen from the land of the Ivrim, of the land of the Hebrews. The Midrash indicates that when Hashem refused Moshe's request that Moshe be allowed to pass over the Jordan River to Israel, Moshe argued that at the very least he should be buried there, since he carried Yosef's casket for 40 years in the Midbar. His whole goal was to take Yosef and have him buried in Israel. Why should Hashem not afford Moshe the same privilege? Hashem's answer was, Yosef acknowledged his land, and you did not acknowledge the land. That's in Dvarim Rabbah, Beis. Though in captivity, Yosef's very identity was tied to the land of Israel, as Yosef proclaimed, Ki gunov gunavti me'eretz ha'ivrim. In contrast, when Yisro's daughters mistakenly identified Moshe as the Mitzri, Perek Beis of Sefer Shmos Pasuk Yud Tes, Ish Mitzri, Moshe did not correct them. As a result of this omission, he did not merit burial in the land of Israel. Yosef was a tragic figure in many respects. He was a target of passionate hate, envy, and ridicule. He was persecuted, sold into slavery for a period of 13 years. He served many masters, exposed to their whims and volatile moods. Yet, he maintained his attachment to his family, to the clan. Someone else under similar circumstances would have forgotten his family completely. He would have tried to erase any trace that Yaakov and his brothers left on his memory, to forget his family completely and alienate himself from them. But Yosef did not. This is one of the most beautiful characteristics of Yosef. He was devoted to his father and to his brothers as well, in spite of the fact that his brothers sold him into slavery and conspired to slay him. Ki gunov gunavti me'eretz ha'ivrim. This means, I belong there. I do not belong here. What was Yosef's assignment in life? A strange task was imposed upon him, one that required a sacrificial and a heroic life. The house of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, it was bound by a sacred agreement, which was part of the all-inclusive covenantal election of Avraham. What was that? That Avraham's descendants will be strangers. Ki ger yezaracha be'eretz lo lahem. Ve'avadum v'inu osam. They will be strangers in a land that is not theirs. They will be enslaved and they will be oppressed. Before the children of Avram became involved in that adventure of exile and servitude, a basic truth had to be established. Whether it is possible for the covenantal community to spend so many years in a land that is not theirs and not lose its identity. And who set the model for the Jewish people? Who is the one that defined their ability to withstand this terrible exile? It was Yosef.